Good morning, good evening, and good night. It's the International Punk Supply Radio Show, the only radio show dedicated to bringing you the greatest in punk hits. On the mics today, we have the one and only Little Tokyo.
Hello.
DJ Better Yet.
Hey, all right.
And returning to that hot mic, Mr. Cat Plaza.
Hey, happy to be here, fellas.
And of course, the one and only Hollywood. So we just heard the band Lifeless Dark, the song Radiation Sickness off their demo Who Will Be the Victims from their 2018 demo. Starting it off hot.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that was great.
Enjoyed it very much. Like that part at the end, too. Gives us a plan of action.
Yeah, it's pretty, I've been really into this. I heard it forever ago, but then just have been revisiting it. There's like this confluence where metal and punk hit. This like perfect, I don't know, just ripping music.
This could have been featured in the Diss episode, and nobody would have had a problem with that.
Not at all.
It's got a real galloping beat at the beginning, but then wait, mosh part. And you know I'm smiling during that.
Now, I can see the members on the side of the page.
Oh, yeah.
Is this Ryan Abbott on drums?
It is.
Makes sense. And CC from like all of those Boston bands on guitar?
It is.
I mean...
Well, that's great. Super that's group, great baby. Information for all the people who know who Ryan Abbott plays drums for and all of those Boston bands that you're talking about. Would you mind enlightening the plebs?
We're having a very classic Capel moment here. This moment brought to you by a classic Capel.
Hey, everyone knows what's going on in my head. And now I can also blame my stupidity on the COVID fog. Because I just had the Roro.
You have the COVID
fog. How you feeling, Joe?
I'm feeling all right. I'm actually feeling really good today.
Can we talk about
my
how
last
your
day of like quarantine? Great story.
Yeah,
my parents came to Tokyo and gave me
COVID.
Yeah, they got on a plane with COVID. Came here, gave it to me, and
So, all right, so I have a quick question.
Yes.
Did you just tell them to leave?
I told them that I was going to quarantine for a while, and so then they left, yeah.
Wow.
I wasn't going to go out. The thing is, they didn't want to stay because...
You were
going to
fly back with them.
For a few things. But yeah, my pregnant wife didn't want to get her sick.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You know, so.
And they don't want to be cruising Tokyo without their trusty guide, Joey.
I know.
With COVID.
That's not fun.
We were going to go to Kyoto, and I haven't been to Kyoto since before the pandemic. And Kyoto is one of my favorite places.
And then your parents decided to start the pandemic phase 4 all over again.
That's right, baby.
Well, I figured they wanted to give, you know, like the new American variants to Japanese people, you know.
Yeah. Of course.
Take that.
You know, Japan, like, literally on October 11th just opened its borders back up to tourists on October 11th. And this is what happens.
Yep. Bad idea, guys.
Well, I was feeling bad for a day. And then, well, like, I felt really bad for a day, and then two other days I was kind of pretty shitty.
You felt pretty bad because you sent your parents home after a, 23-hour flight?
No,
I would feel bad about that.
They went direct. Well, yeah. It was
you felt bad about COVID.
I literally felt bad. My body felt bad.
Yeah, that's what happens. You feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah, so
really bad.
Well, Tim,
well, at least
to answer some of your questions.
At least you didn't get radiation sickness.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
That we Ryan know Abbott of. Has played in a million bands, but he's in like Exit Order, No Tolerance, Blank Stare, Positive Reinforcement.
All right.
Social Circle.
Keep going, Joey.
I'm done.
And then
we played. What was that? Mm-hmm. Bloody Gears. What are some other ones? Pat, fill some in. What did we listen to? The D Beat Band one time. Green Beret.
Green Beret. Yeah.
That's a really good one.
What did we listen to? That one time. That D Beat Band. Yeah. That one time.
No, on this show. Previously on this show, we listened to that band.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've listened to a couple bands. We listened to Social Circle.
We certainly have listened to a couple bands on this show.
Yeah.
And a couple more coming your way on the International Punk Supply Radio Hour.
If we're lucky.
The only show about music.
The only
Oh, jeez. You guys are picking on me in my sickness.
We're a serious music show that doesn't take ourselves too seriously.
Wow. All right, moving on.
Yeah, what do you say we play some more music?
I like that idea a lot.
All right, well, we're going to hear the Red, Pinks, and Purples off the recently reissued EP, They Only Wanted Your Soul, with the song I Should Have Helped You, which we should have helped Joey in the beginning of this episode. Hit it.
Some people do. I would have shown you if I knew the right way through. I should have helped you when you were down. Out of the jam and the wrong way around. I could have told you your pictures were nice and made an effort to smile once or twice at parties when the mood is right. I should have helped you. That's what normal people know. I could have thrown you a life raft or a decent rope. I could have pulled you out of the trash where you linger on glory's long path. Our chance was more than a waste, but the price was too much to pay. You wore the shame on your face. I shouldn't blame you, but if the accusations are true, to turn my back on you. That's what decent people do. I could have pulled you out of the trash where you linger on glory's long past. Our chance was more than a waste, but the price was too too much to pay. You wore the shame on your face.
innumerable forms, with the track Built on Rot off their recent 2022 record, Philosophical Collapse. Before that, we heard Santa Cruz's Duster off their latest record together with the song New Directions, and we topped that block off, started that block off with the Red, Pinks, and Purples, I Should Have Helped You.
I think I sent a message into the chat about 5 seconds into that Reds, Pinks, and Purples song, and I said, Slumberland? And I was right. But these are this is a mainstay of Slumberland, right?
In the current era, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a top five label. I'm bringing it back. You know that. I think I already said that. Yeah, I had to.
They're so good. I think the thing I like about Slumberland too is that they just keep putting new stuff out. That's like great. It's not like they've lost the plot. Yeah. They're still like very refreshing bands that they find.
And there's there's a through line from the very first stuff they put out all the way to the today that like makes sense.
Yeah. It is.
And don't they share their name with a mattress company?
They have to.
I think they do.
There has to have been a Slumberland, at least factory outlet store that liquidated their inventory at some point.
Yeah,
I think it actually isn't that the name of Philip Seymour Hoffman's character in Punch Drunk Love. Doesn't he own a Slumberland mattresses? I think he does.
Oh man, we'll maybe
really?
No, I made that up.
Oh,
I made that up. I like that track. Here's what I will say about Slumberland. I would say that label is a consistent A-minuses output, but how many A pluses do we have on Slumberland? I'm not going to say how many I have, but how many do you all have for A pluses on Slumberland records?
Off the top of my head, that first Pains of Being Pure at Heart record, for starters.
Yeah, definitely. Damn right.
That one's good.
Yeah.
Tony Molina.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have the...
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know. What
you're wrong, Tim.
All right. I would say that Molina record is a definite A plus, and that Pains of Being Pure at Heart, which is I think to the point that we've been making about Slumberland. That record was 20 years ago, and it was.
Wait.
What?
But they've been a label for 30 years, right?
Something like that.
A long time.
That Pains of Being Pure at Heart record is not 20 years old.
It's not.
That was 2009, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah. All right.
2009 was pretty much like 20 years ago.
Let's look that shit up. That was
I don't need to look it up. 2009.
Why am I thinking that they're from 2003? Do I just think that they're Belle and Sebastian sometimes?
You might.
Maybe.
I feel like I derailed us there. So let's bring it back. I think that Duster song is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool that Duster is just a band that came back and makes good records again.
Yeah, you know, I think this record of theirs might be one of my favorites. It's much more diverse than their last reunion record. I don't know. There's a lot of like cool like synth sounds, and the classic trademark slow, expansive sound is there, but they're doing cool new things with it.
They sound like a band where no one actually wants to sing in it, but someone just begrudgingly is like, okay, I'll like write some lyrics and sing. Because, like, I don't know.
Both of those guys sing like they don't need to be heard singing.
Yeah.
Well, it's secondary to the music, right?
That's definitely what I'm saying. Yep.
Man, I saw a Duster reunion show, and I had a, very, very vague understanding of that band, and that was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life.
Damn. You know, they played here last night, and by 8 o'clock, I was already in my pajamas ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
You gotta wake up early.
Day afternoon shows.
I've been reading a lot of sci-fi lately, and Duster is just the band that's like made for sci-fi. So yeah. I have been putting them on recently in the morning while I read, just as a great like background music.
Sci-fi, like Bruce Colville?
No, Ursula K. Le Guin. I just read Left Hand of Darkness.
That one's fucking awesome.
It's so fucking cool. Before that, I read a book by Anna Kavan. It's called Ice. It's very similar to Left Hand of Darkness. Mm. Like, came out within a year of it, maybe, and takes place on a frozen planet. And Men Are Terrible. Yeah, and right now I'm actually reading 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah, got a great nice movie. Little copy.
Don't know about the book, yeah.
Great
Never
book.
Never read the book.
Explains what's going on in the movie a little bit more. They wrote the script and the book in
Imagine
tandem.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The movie is, there's like two words in it.
You know what else I watched recently too is 2010. Huh. Have you ever seen 2010?
I haven't. I want to. Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome. It's like so much better than you'd anticipate. It's not like the greatest movie ever made, but your expectations are pretty low, and it's quite good.
Is 2001 Kubrick's best movie?
No. Eyes Wide Shut.
You can't say Clockwork Orange. Oh, the Eyes Shining. Wide Shut, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I say The Shining.
Shining is...
Oh, The Shining is so good.
I would say Shining, Eyes Wide Shut, and 2001 are all in that top three area.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim, I remember a few years ago, you were really in a Kubrick hole.
Oh, yeah. I'm always in a Kubrick hole, man. He's the best.
Have you seen Barry Lyndon?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually might watch it today. I got it on Blu-ray. I love to throw it on a Sunday afternoon every couple of years.
Just a little Sunday Barry.
Yeah. It's just like going to the museum.
You watching the Bears this weekend? No, Barry Lyndon.
Oh, yeah. I'm watching the Barry. Innumerable forms. Thank God I'm keeping this on track. On this international radio podcast,
you're a pro
hour.
Podcaster. Yeah,
yeah, you really are the pro amongst us,
dude. I like that.
He derails us and then brings us back in.
I like that Innumerable Forms song a lot too.
Yeah, I'm happy they're still going. They've been a band for a long time. Kind of a side project that every now and then becomes a main project. But yeah, another supergroup, so to speak, too.
Members of Iron Lung and Power Trip.
The one and only DFJ of a bunch of other Boston bands that we won't name is the singer, and it's been his project since it started. So yeah, I think this current iteration where he has Jensen of Iron Lung playing guitar, Chris Olsch of Power Trip, and another bunch of bands like the Impalers and
Mammoth Grinder,
Hatred Surge, Iron Age. Mm. He's, I think, also playing guitar.
Second guitar, yeah.
Yeah. That dude's a ripper.
Then Connor from Genocide Pack is playing drums, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, it hits that sweet spot of like kind of doomy death metal with just, I don't know, his voice is so evil too.
I won't pretend that I liked it, but I admired that it seemed like there were like movements within the song, almost like a piece of classical music. Like they would finish up some riff and then they'd give it like 10 seconds and then enter some other section, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely relate with that interpretation of it, Pat. I feel like Pat, I mean Cat Plaza. Just the break from the verse chorus type thing is good enough for me sometimes. I'm like a vocals first person. Like that's just how I've always listened to music, and vocals like this always take me a couple of goes through to where I'm not focusing on them as much, and then as they become more of a piece of a larger thing, that kind of tends to be where it becomes clear for me whether or not I'm going to listen to this a lot more, or if I've, like, done the work.
I've had my fill.
Yeah. Very but cool. I did like how sludgy it was. And then, like, would we make the distinction here of death metal being the guitar, like, you know, wahs and the solos there? To me, does that, like, come in, and does that, like, indicate that death metal is the fact that this guy's soloing like a maniac from 1988?
No, I think it's more so the riffing in combination with how the drums are laid out.
The double bass drum?
Yeah, double bass drum, and a lot of that, like, da, 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 like that kind of copter beat, so to speak.
a slower blast beat.
Yeah, slower blast beat.
I like that.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think I remember reading somewhere a long time ago they started this band as like a ripoff of like old school Finnish death metal. And the dude's so specific about his references, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. And then bands like Anathema, what is that? Mm-hmm. And Paradise Lost,
yeah.
Are those Paradise bands Lost are... that the people at home could go and listen to for the first time?
Yeah, Paradise Lost are great. Well, those are Peaceville Records bands, a UK label, maybe a top five label. We'll see.
Ooh.
But known for a wide range of extreme music, specifically like Paradise Lost or Anathema, My Dying Bride, kind of like on that doomy end of death metal.
Isn't Dark Throne on that label?
Yep.
Mm. Stacked roster.
Right? See, there you go. Napalm Death.
Okay.
Nice. So Pat, what do you got here for us?
Just got a little block, two songs. I'm going to start out with the track from Eli Winter's new album. It's called For Chaisos Blue Bonnet.
Thank you. surprise, the same kind of setting style. I should go, I should go, if I'm gone already. Give me a chance and I agree. I'll let it take over me. And I'm so tired of this passive fighting. Give me the weekend, I believe it. I'll be waiting for the police to come down. You just want me to say I'm afraid to commit to anything. But I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm unsteady. I guess I'm drunk already, but this
Animals. That was Kill Creek with Unsteady. Before that, we heard Eli Winters from a Chisos Blue Bonnet off his self-titled album. Just came out this year. Guys, what did you think?
I liked both of those.
Yeah,
I like
two good tracks.
Eli Winter, I really liked that track. I like the speed. It's really fucking fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's crushed. He's just shredding.
Yeah, like insane. And then I've never heard Kill Creek before, but that was really, really cool. In the chat I asked what year it came out, because it sounds kind of like it's got like a Get Up Kids kind of vibe.
Well, they're from Lawrence, Kansas, so they must know each other. Yeah,
I actually was introduced to Kill Creek via Matt Pryor's side project, The New Amsterdams. I don't know if you guys remember The New Amsterdams.
Right.
The second New Amsterdams record, Paratoda Vita, there's a Kill Creek cover. It's the second to last song. It's called All Ears.
Oh.
It's an outstanding track. That record,
I
not great.
Love that song.
Not great. That record that track is so good. That got me to... I was always looking for Kill Creek, and then I found that CD at Waiting Room Records in Normal, Illinois. Shout out. That band's fucking cool. Very, like, sunny day. There's, like, I feel like there's a little bit more of, like, a radio pop sensibility in there too than either of those bands.
Jimmy Eat World.
Mm-hmm.
When they're really hitting their pop marks, it's Jimmy Eat World. I actually found them from like when I'm at a loss for things to listen to, sometimes I'll just put on like a 500 song best of emo playlist or whatever genre I'm looking into. And I mean, maybe I'll listen for 20 minutes, and in that 20 minute block that day, that song played and I was like, damn, I would have never heard this.
Yeah, it's nice to just like set yourself up in that way.
All right. Also, DJ Hollywood, chime in.
I'm not done yet.
Time for you. Oh,
I just wanted everybody to know.
Didn't like it.
Well, I just wanted everybody to know that on that same New Amsterdam's record, there's a song called "Picture in the Paper," and yours truly, I played that at my high school talent show senior year.
Oh, whoa.
Nice.
And then the day.
Do you have footage? Can you put it on YouTube?
I don't know if I have footage, but I do know that, like, within a couple of days, I realized that I had the capo one fret down. It was just like,
how dare
it
you?
Just clicked that I was like, oh, I was playing this in the wrong key. So then they disqualified my award for the winning performance at the talent show.
Of course.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But. Anyway, so yeah, Pat, you didn't like either of those songs, did you, Pat?
You guys think I didn't like Kill Creek?
No, you like
Come
Kill
on,
Creek.
Pat.
Too quiet. Too
Come on,
quiet.
Pat. Talk shit. Let's go.
No, I enjoy Kill Creek. Well, I mean, right. You know, obviously, I grew up on the Get Up Kids. I love that sound. I like, you know, I still really like Jimmy Eat World. So there's a sweet spot in there for me for that kind of like emo indie rock. That, you know, like the bridge was great, the chorus is great. At first his voice threw me for like a moment, but then I enjoyed it. And you know, I thought the name was familiar, and then I was like looking through their history, and yeah, it's like, of course they released a record on Second Nature Records, the Coalesce record label. So
ouch,
I knew it was familiar. I'm not too sure if I've checked them out before or not, but I will definitely go back to that record because I enjoyed that. It's interesting how that band like held a indie rock, I don't know, flagpole in a scene that was like strictly either weird metalcore or emo. And it's just like, oh, here's a band within the same scene that's just like, yeah, we just want to play rock music.
You're saying which band held
Coalesce,
the...
right?
Oh, Coalesce.
Coalesce on one end, Get Up Kids on the other end, sharing band members, but then you have this band, Kill Creek. Yeah.
Yeah.
What an interesting scene that would have been in the mid-90s.
Just hanging out in Lawrence, Kansas.
Right? Yeah.
Eli Winter could not have seen it because he was born in 1997. I love when people are so accomplished at something and they're so young. I'm like, oh man, well, I can't play guitar for shit. Good for him. Yeah, it's okay.
He plays a lot more often than you.
Okay, yeah. So for Eli Winter, I tried to find things I liked, and I really liked the pedal steel in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Otherwise, too fucking noodly. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't think there was any noodling there. It was all composed.
It was
just like a repeating guitar line, no?
It's just too much. I can't do it.
That gets my French step... Sorry, that's a French press music when I'm making my French press. I brought this up before.
Yeah, you're going to Starbucks. You're hearing that while you're waiting in line, waiting for your double mocha frappuccino.
You're not.
No, I'm talking about at home. But don't be mean.
You wanted like me to be mean!
Yeah. You did.
So we could be mean to you.
Yeah. I mean, but to be totally honest, like that kind of like fast-picking blues-ish style, it's not for me.
Not even like John Fahey or like the cornerstones of the genre?
No.
What other cornerstones?
Okay. Yeah, what are the cornerstones, please?
Yeah, like the original finger pickers, like Fahey and Robbie Basho, those guys.
Yeah, no.
Like
no,
Robert
no.
Johnson.
Yeah, Robert Johnson.
The blues.
Now, if Eli took that sound and slowed it down, by like several thousand measures. I'd be into it.
The rest of the record is not like that. So there's a lot of flavor on that. Good variety.
I would say that like there's this great like pocket of that of players like that, you know, and labels like Three Lobes, which put out this Eli record. I'm a fan of people like Steve Gunn and William Tyler. Mm-hmm. I bring up those two examples in particular because I saw William Tyler open for Caliphone. I saw Steve Gunn open for Dinosaur Jr., I think. And I mm-hmm. think that exact spot is like the perfect place for me for that music, is seeing them opening for someone else and just like seeing it all happen is the best way to that's where I'm like happiest with that stuff. It's not stuff that I listen to like on my own as much, but like very stoked about being in that position to see players like that do a live.
Caliphone's got some shows coming up in living rooms across Chicago, so if anyone wants to join me,
damn,
yeah,
that'd be
yeah, actually on. I might do that.
I've seen him in a living room in Seattle. It was fantastic. You know, 30 people in the building and just a really intimate affair. I mean, the best, one of my favorite musicians. So that's a no-brainer. I'll be there.
What did you think of his most recent record? I haven't absorbed it as much as the others.
Yeah, I mean, neither. It didn't grab me, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought the one before it, Stitches, that everyone, you know, I feel like
Stitches is awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing, and I feel like it didn't get very much shine, but it deserves it. It's a fantastic record.
You know, I will say that when that record came out, I was playing it a lot in the coffee shop, and I was talking to a lot of people about that record when it was out. So, obviously, that's just anecdotal, but I felt like there were a lot of Caliphone fans that, you know, it was just a lot. I was surprised to see so many people that were on such a familiar basis with Caliphone, and we're so excited about that record coming out when it did.
He actually had a record with a guy named Craig Ross that came out as like a duo record. What is that?
Oh, cool.
The Day Before the Peaches Rock. Oh, it's called 10 Seconds to Collapse. That's a must. 2018. Tim Rutili and Craig Ross. Check that out too.
Yeah.
Quick side note. Are you guys familiar with the Isaac Brockside project, Ugly Casanova?
I know of it. Haven't heard it.
He played on that record and was part of that band, and you can certainly hear Caliphone in those songs. And if you enjoy Isaac Brock, I would highly suggest it, because it's some of his best work, I think.
Cool. Rock on. Joe, you're up.
All right. Sounds good. So, as you guys know, I had COVID. And I had some time to listen to some music and watch a lot of TV and movies, but I listened to some music, and I'm going to share some of the music that I listened to. This first song is called You and Me, and it's by Tiger Trap.
Now I'm finding the words to say. stricken to our rules. We let the field a love affair, which made all other loves fools. Oh, how can you ever let me down? How can you ever let me down? How can you ever let me down? These promises are made for us. We promised that we'd always have time for each other whenever I needed you to know. We promised to be true, there'd be no other. We promised that forever we would care. Oh, how can you ever let me down? How can you ever let me down? How can you ever let me down? These promises are made for us. We had to change, but you stayed the same. You wouldn't change. Oh, what a shame. Easy, you're on my side. We play a game with two sets of rules. We leave the field in a love affair. Oh, strictly made for fools. Oh, why did you ever let me down? Why did you ever let me down? Why did you ever let me down? Those promises were made for us. Whenever I need you, you're not there. You've never been true and it's plain to see. The fact is you never really cared. Oh, why did you ever let me down? Why did you ever let me down? Why did you ever let me down? Those promises we made for us.
Welcome back. That was Shaved Ape with Moral Crumbs. Before that, we had Delco MFs with Watching Me. And we had the Buzzcocks with Promises. And then we started off with You and Me by Tiger Trap. So I decided to go with some new and current hardcore with some classics that I always go to.
Do you think twee pop is like one of the most played genres we have on this radio show?
It's got to be up there.
I think it does have to be up there, and it's one of those like kind of slow burn things where you don't realize it, but every episode of this podcast has 2 to 3 twee pop songs,
including the Disclosed episode.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I didn't realize that it creeped into the Misfits episode or the
the DB episode.
Who would have thought? It was there. Seen that coming. Oh my god, that Tiger Trap song is so good, and I was like,
yep.
Boy, oh boy. I know that I know this band. Where do I know them from? They did a split with Henry's Dress. We'll address Henry's Dress in a second. But yeah, man, that Tiger Trap song was so fucking good. Probably my favorite of the episode.
Well, actually, the reason I listened to that record was because of DJ Cat Plaza in our Discord.
Hey.
Put up the best 25 best indie pop. Where is it? Bedroom pop album.
Yeah,
of all
indie
time?
Pop records of the '90s.
Oh okay. Yeah, I saw that list. I still gotta look at it.
Yeah, Pitchfork list.
Yeah, so Tiger's Trap was on there, and I was like, oh shit, I haven't listened to them in a while, and so.
Yeah. I played it at the shop yesterday, and it was perfect for that. Great vibe. People love it. So, I mean, no brainer.
Also put out by K Records, underrated record label.
Yeah, we'll get to them eventually.
Underrated. Yeah. I just feel like they're like lost to the sands of time at this point.
I think that they're their own unit. They're like their own object. If you're into K, you're really into K. If you're not into K, you at least know that K is like, you know, the Discord of fucking...
Of 90s indie rock?
Well, just that Pacific Northwest in particular.
Right. Also, Tiger Trap, one of the greatest album covers. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
good.
Yeah,
it's really great.
Fabulous. Yeah, it perfectly captures the sound.
Yeah. Do you guys listen to the Softies, too? Or like Go Sailor?
Yeah, Softies are cool.
Don't know.
So they went on to, or one of the members of Tiger Trap went on to do the Softies with another, I think someone who went on after the Softies to form, what is that, All Girl Summer Fun Band?
Oh,
you guys
okay.
know them?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, no, they're fucking awesome too. Like, just similar style. But the Softies is just two electric guitars and two singers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think they did, I think they did they did a record. I think their demo came out on Slumberland, and then I think K Records did their LP, honestly.
Yeah. Rose Melberg, also from Tiger Trap, did a tape with Tony Molina last year, the Live in San Francisco.
No shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that tape is fucking
Holy
great.
Holy fuck!
Mm-hmm.
And my tape player just recently ate it. Actually,
oh
yeah, I'm not too sure if it's playable still, but
damn. I just wanted to say that you know it's as we're you know in the last segment of the episode, I think it's good to you know look back and maybe make amends. And I just want to say on behalf of all of us here that Slumberland is a great record and they have A+ releases such as the Henry's Dress EP, Boy Racer, more songs about frustration and self-hate. They did the Clueless soundtrack tape, and that's a fucking great soundtrack.
Whoa.
Yeah. Introduced the world to the Smoking Popes, goddammit.
I was going to wonder how you were going to address Henry's Dress.
Yeah. Yeah. That Henry's Dress, it's technically an EP, but that feels like a full-length record to me.
The 10-inch?
Yeah. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, that band's fantastic. We'll play them soon.
Also forgot that the Eiler Set Last Match record came out on Slumberland, which is, oh my god, I'm not seeing too much recognition here. Well, that's a great record.
I don't know that.
Eiler Set.
I'm aware of the name.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep, the Last Match, 2001. Slumberland. I know that people in that band were in bands too, but I would highly recommend.
Well, just look how deep that Slumberland roster is and how many A+ releases they've put out into the world.
Joey, good Buzzcocks pick too. I feel like that's a song that they have so many classic hits, but maybe that's one that's like not as top tier A+ classic hit, but it's so good.
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorites, and I agree that it gets overlooked sometimes, so I want to give it its time in the sun.
I love that song so much, and I put it on a lot of mixes because I think it's the best Buzzcocks song that not everybody has heard. So that has, it's like, when I'm putting a playlist together and I want some Buzzcocks, it's like, cool, I'll hit them with the fucking hit that they've either never heard it or they know it's a fucking great song. So,
yeah, I do that one, or from their third record, You Say You Don't Love Me. That song is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask, do you guys have any use for the material that's not on singles Going Steady? Because I've really not listened to much of it.
Oh, yeah. 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 They make great LPs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they get
I've always just stuck to the comp.
Mm-hmm. They get a little weird out there, too. You Say You Don't Love Me, like, uses some cool guitar effects. And I forget which record that's on, because they do all kind of... like they're, you know, that they, those, that material's been re-released so many times too that it's like hard to remember which one comes from what. But yeah, Buzzcocks definitely get out there.
Yeah, it actually, point of contention, we have Spotify at work, and this is the only time I ever use Spotify, and I got a bone to pick with it, because anytime there's a classic record, it's like, oh, we're gonna tack on all these demos and live tracks. And recently played what's the record after Singles Going Steady, From Another Kitchen?
A Different Kind of Kitchen.
A Different Kind of Kitchen. And it's just like, I don't need to hear all the demos and live tracks. Can you just put those in a separate folder or something? Come on, Spotify.
If you scroll down to like you're probably seeing like the most recent version of it, which it's, you know, maybe an expanded edition. So if you go down, you'll probably find that a different version of that record that is just that record. But I hear you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, classic band. Nice. And then I played some current hardcore bands. Both of them actually are one-man projects.
Killer.
Delco MFs is Jim Shomo of Dark Thoughts, Bad Side, a bunch of other bands.
Good,
and then
good
Shaved
boy.
Loose Nukes,
that's right. Shaved Ape is this dude Vince, who is normally a drummer in bands like Loose Nukes. No, he wasn't in Loose Nukes, was he?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Sickoids.
He might have been.
Sickoids. Sickoids is like the big one. Witch Hunt, few other bands from Philadelphia.
I would also say he's pretty normal. Bloomington normal.
Is there a connection?
Yeah, he's from there.
Wait, who's from there?
Oh.
Vince of Shaved Ape.
Oh.
He was good friends with like Mark and Nate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was in a band, like a crust band called Witch Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what I first like remember seeing him.
Yeah.
With that band. But yeah, like Sickoids is one of my favorite bands, and he played drums, and his drumming is incredible.
Yeah, and such a kind person. Joey, I hadn't heard the Delco MFs. I've been putting it off for whatever reason. I just wish the vocals were a little louder.
Oh, I mean, it sounds like absolute garbage.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it sounded nice.
Well, that's why I like it, because it sounded like absolute garbage. So.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It was nice and fast. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Cruising. Super speed.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, too. The vocals, just a touch louder in the mix. Just a touch.
Isn't Delco the name of a local, like, fire or a tire manufacturer in Chicago? What is a Delco?
AC Delco?
I have no idea.
Oh, AC Delco, yeah, they're a auto supply store.
Yeah.
I think Delco has a specific Pennsylvania reference, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Delaware County.
Sure. Yeah.
Delaware County in Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Yeah, it's right by Westchester. So you may have seen some of Delco County in old CKY2K videos or episodes of Jackass.
Oh, cool.
Interesting.
Guaranteed.
Shout out, Bam Margera.
No.
Speaking of Bam Margera, I've been listening to him for the last 2 days straight.
How is it?
I think it's fucking great. It's so good.
What are you listening to him where?
Why?
No, the band him.
The band him.
Oh, you've been listening to him.
I got you, Pat. I understood.
Be that. Right here.
Okay. You know what?
That song is so good. Oh.
I have to bring something up. We have to address something.
Okay.
On our last radio show hour, we played an absolutely horrible song that Pat Klaza is now a fan of, and we need to talk about this. We need to have an open forum about the Misfits
Monkey's
song
Paw.
Monkey Paw. Horrible
no
song.
Cries, tears
horrible song. Oh, I know my all the lyrics. God.
I don't know why you could... No, it's a good song. Here's why. It takes all of the elements of Danzig's Misfits and just... It is, and then just photocopies them with the new singer. I'm not that picky. Give me it.
I'm not
it
convinced.
Sounds like the Ronettes a little bit. I'm into it. This horrible. Isn't for show. I'd like that song. Monkey's Paw, baby. Go check it out. Last episode, just put it up on Spotify, maybe. You'll see.
Oh, Jesus.
So you play, Pat. here's the move. It's almost Halloween. You put on Monkey's Paw. Then you put on like 2-3 hours of him, his infernal majesty, and then Monkey's Paw at the end, and you've got yourself a nice afternoon.
So yeah, you play Monkey's Paw twice.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Just make sure you're wearing nice fingerless kind of gloves the whole time.
Do you guys want to see my his infernal majesty, my him blazer? Oh, I don't think it's up here right now.
What? No, Pat, no.
So I bought a blazer at a thrift store when I was about 18, and I used whiteout pen, and I wrote all these hymn lyrics on it, heartograms, and it's sick. I will I'll put it up on our Instagram if the other admins allow. And
I think I've seen that. I think I've seen you in that. I think I remember being like,
it's
why,
so
why
embarrassing
Pat, why does it, why is, why does Pat like him?
Wow. I think if you dig a little bit deeper, you talk to some real bona fide people, they'll tell you that they like him. They know what the score is.
What do you call him fans?
Hymns? I don't know.
Hymsters?
Hymsters?
Hymsters! I love that. I've covered him in concert. I got no shame.
Oh, I'm sorry for derailing us here. Pat, thank you for being you.
We all know I'm the weak link here. It's fine.
No, it's great.
No. I just had to address that. For the record, Monkey's Paw, horrible song. Don't even bother. Moving on to Shave Dave. I've been meaning to check that whole demo out, so thanks for playing that.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's really
sounded
good.
Great. Yep.
Nice.
Sorry State Records. What is that? Is that a...
That's a top five label right there.
It's a great label.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Say more. Who's on
ISS?
It?
Broken Prayer. My Ew. Band.
Next.
Yeah. Double Negative.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
All right.
Broken Prayer featuring some people that have been in some bands.
I just can't wait to watch episodes of Viva La Bam when this is all over.
Yeah, put some Wild Boys on after that. Oh,
ooh, Wild Boys I could actually get behind.
I can Wild get behind Wild Boys.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
The Jackass movie Before Forever, the last
Jackass
one Bam's
3D?
In.
Jackass
yeah,
3?
In the beginning... Yeah. Like sequence of that when it focuses on Bam, he goes from giving the rock on signal to the middle finger, and he was like,
"Oh yeah, dude, that's a classic cool. Brandon DiCamillo move. That goes all the way back to CKY2K."
I did not.
If you could
imagine
incorporate the Shocker, that would be cool.
Oh man.
That takes
time
building
to
up
close
some muscle.
This episode.
Now you got to build up the muscle
far.
Memory.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say, you guys still got 30 seconds before I talk about the match Johnny Knoxville had at WrestleMania this year. So, Oh, do with that what you will.
That sounds great.
It was I love Johnny Knoxville.
Shout out Johnny Knoxville.
They used the giant mousetrap. All right, we're gonna close this out with A Place to Bury Strangers.
Monkey's Paw.
No.
Are you playing
this?
Monkey's
this
Paw
song's again? Called "Monkey's Paw" by A Place to Bury Strangers. See you later, guys.